shooting from the lip.
We're taking no prisoners here. Real opinions for real people.
John Gaunt, shooting from the lip.
Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of Shooting from the Lip on Sputnik International with me, John Gaunt. It's Halloween, but there's a nightmare on the streets of Westminster because despite Boris saying he would die in a ditch rather than stay in the EU, we are still in the EU. But we are going to have a general election. Will it make a blind bit of difference? I've got a great person to talk to today, and she always shoots from the lip. Her name is Suzanne Evans from Leavers of Britain.
Shooting from the lip.
Good afternoon, Suzanne.
Hello, John.
Well, you're going to have to change your name. We're not leaving, are we? What on earth is going on?
Well, the thing about Leavers of Britain is it's a group of a social networking of group of people from all political parties who want Brexit and are campaigning and working hard for that. So, yeah, I don't think it's about changing our name. We still want to leave. We've been Leavers of Britain for a long time and we'll carry on.
Okay.
It is deeply depressing, isn't it? I've just got back from India, actually, a couple of days ago. The world's largest democracy, and I feel like I've come back home to a country that is supposed to be one that is the mother of all parliaments and one of the world's oldest democracies. And I feel like actually I've come back to a country that in some ways is no better than a banana republic, with people calling for votes to be overturned, to hold second votes, that certain people shouldn't be allowed to vote, that other people should be given the vote. And it's an absolute disgrace. So as you say, John, there is a general election coming. That's the one hope, I think, that we can get democracy back for our country. Because at the moment, I think the world must look at us and laugh. Britain should be a great country on the world stage. We have so much going for us. People must be looking at now and thinking we're a tin pot dictatorship. Parliament's gone feral. I think most MPs in the House are simply not fit for purpose. It's a great chance to drain the swamp, as it were, to use a Trumpian phrase. Whether that will happen or not, I don't know. But it is deeply, deeply depressing that despite the will of the people to leave the EU, Parliament simply won't let us do it. It's a disgrace, an absolute disgrace.
Okay, let's go through it then by step. A lot of the mainstream media are blaming Boris Johnson. Do you put the blame at his feet? And they're saying, look, he's the one who said we'd be out by Halloween. He's failed. Is it his failure?
No, I don't blame Boris Johnson at all. The fact is we should be out of the EU by now, today, and Boris Johnson should have been able to do that, but his hands were tied. You've got, as I said, a feral bunch of anti-democratic parliamentarians who are pulling every stunt they can to keep us in, and they're using the courts, they're using the establishment, they're using ancient parliamentary procedure, they're overturning the constitution effectively in so many ways, and they've bound his hands. Of course, you've also got to blame the European Union as well. You know, Boris made it quite clear when he wrote the letter to Donald Tusk that he didn't really want an extension. Tusk decided he was going to give us one anyway. So no, I don't blame Boris, actually. I think he's done everything he can to try and get us out. He renegotiated the withdrawal agreement. Now, of course, not everybody might not like it, but the fact is the EU said, Theresa May said when she was PM, this is not up for negotiation. It is unchangeable. We're not going to move. Boris actually got the EU to move in a very significant way. So it's not his fault. He's done all he can, in my opinion. I think the people to blame are those hideous Remain MPs in Parliament, MPs who were mostly elected on a manifesto to leave the European Union, MPs who were representing constituencies that voted to leave the European Union in many cases and refused to actually recognise democracy. They should not be in Parliament, and my God, I hope they get kicked out on the 12th of December.
Okay, so how does the general election change anything? Because surely Corbyn's only agreed to it because he knows that we've got the extension. We can't now leave on a so-called no deal or on WTO. So Boris's hands are still tied, aren't they?
Well, I think if we have a parliament that, whether it's made up of Conservative, Labour, whatever MPs, as long as we have a parliament that actually respects the result of the referendum, then I think ultimately, yes, we're going to leave. My worry is that perhaps even the Conservative Party, which is now saying it wants to leave, obviously obviously, you know, you never quite know who Conservatives, who Labour, who anyone has put in. You don't quite know their personal views. So my worry is, yes, that it won't change anything. That even if, for example, there was a stonking majority for the Conservative Party, that there would still be some Conservative MPs elected who would do their best to frustrate the Brexit process. But we have to see. I think it is the case that a general election is the only way now to get us out of this mess. It's the only hope for us leaving the European Union. We have to have a leave parliament, and that's what I hope to be seeing on the 13th of December.
Okay, that's interesting, but does that lead you to think that Boris should take up Nigel Farage's offer of an election pact?
I think my concern about Nigel Farage is that perhaps he will stand candidates in seats where the incumbent candidate is, or the sitting candidate, is a firm Leave supporter. That would be not sensible in my personal view. I think, you know, for me now leaving the European Union, and I think for much of the country, it is the number one priority. It's the number one thing that's got to be done. And I think to split the vote in any way would be madness. And if you're someone like Nigel Farage, who has claimed for many, many years now, over 40 years now, that he wants to leave the European Union and has dedicated his life to it, why on earth would you do something that would potentially put that at risk?
Yeah, but so hold on a minute, Suzanne. You're putting all the responsibility on Nigel. Surely Boris could put the country first,
absolutely,
ahead of his own ego, and say to Nigel, OK, those 80 seats you do, we'll do the others. Because I don't know whether you agree with me, I think if there was a pact, they would definitely get the majority, and then we would definitely get our Brexit. What do you reckon?
I think that's potentially right. I can understand, actually, from any party political point of view, when it comes to a pact, you're basically endorsing another candidate about whom you might know very little. I think that's the problem when you're talking about electoral pacts. You take a huge risk. And we know, for instance, that in the past, UKIP wasn't very good at selecting parliamentary candidates because the skeletons came tumbling out of the cupboard faster than you could actually say the word skeleton. So I can understand why there might be a reluctance on the part of the Conservative Party to endorse candidates and stand aside for candidates who might not turn out to be the best members of parliament. But I think something has got to be done. We have to have a Leave parliament. And anybody who genuinely believes in Brexit has got to explore all options to make sure that that is what is delivered. I think one of the first things that has to happen is that the Fixed Term Parliament Act has to be ripped up. I think that's proven to be an absolute disaster. It ties hands. It keeps governments in power that potentially should not be kept in power. I think that's got to go. And I think it probably will go, actually, in the next parliamentary term. So that might potentially mean another general election once Brexit is delivered. Yes, I'm as sick of them as the next person. You know, the last thing I want is endless elections. I don't think that's any good for anybody. We need stability. And a government needs to move on beyond Brexit and get other things done in the country as well. But yeah, I think a pact is worth looking at. To be honest, I wouldn't blame anybody on either side if they didn't finally go for it. But I think if you are Nigel Farage and your stated aim has been for decades to leave the European Union, I think if you then put candidates against strong Brexit, known strong Brexit candidates, I think that's madness.
Well,
but again, as I say, I think Boris should also look at those seats that it is perhaps impossible for the Conservative Party to win, but where the Brexit Party might do very well, and, as you say, consider standing aside. But I think that would have to be done on an individual case-by-case basis, in much the same way that the Brexit Party will be doing it on an individual case-by-case basis.
Yeah, because, of course, in those northern industrial towns, as Paul Nuttall, ex-deputy leader, said all those years ago with UKIP, that he was going to take them on, and he had an awful amount of success there. There is a chance, isn't there, that if Nigel just went for those constituencies, he could end up with a sizable number in Parliament of seats,
yeah,
and he could hold the balance of power, and then there might even be a pact then. So, I mean, I can't see how we get Brexit done without some cooperation either before or after between Boris and Nigel personally.
As I say, I think that's absolutely something that's got to be explored. But I think both sides would have to be very circumspect about it, and I think both sides would have to be sensible. And as you and I both know, in politics, John, sometimes common sense in country doesn't always come first.
Absolutely. Do you think those talks are probably happening anyway, behind closed doors?
I'm sure they are. Yes, I'm sure they are. I don't know, but I suspect they are, yeah.
OK, let's move on to Corbyn. Is there any possibility that Corbyn could get into power either through the front door of number 10 or through the back door because of this splitting of the vote, maybe potentially with Farage and indeed with Boris?
Yes, I think you only have to look at the results of the last two general elections and you can see that Jeremy Corbyn is potentially actually very close to taking power. And I think a lot of people have to do some very hard thinking about that, particularly those people who claim to be anti-Brexit. Because for all those people that are saying that a no deal is going to totally wreck the economy, well, my goodness, I can't see how they could logically not think that having a Corbyn quasi-communist government is not going to be far, far worse. Yeah, I personally do not want to see Jeremy Corbyn in number 10. I think the man is absolutely dreadful. I think he does a disservice to the Labour Party. You know, many Labour Party voters and supporters are good, decent, honourable people. I personally don't think Jeremy Corbyn is such a person. I think he's a terrorist sympathiser. I think, as I say, he's a communist. I think he's surrounding himself by people that share his abhorrent views, and I don't want to see him in number 10. My family background is quite Labour and socialist, actually, and I sign up to a lot of, you know, ideas about social justice, but not Corbyn. Absolutely not. So it's absolutely terrifying that he might potentially get power. Not necessarily just because of vote splitting, but I think because we increasingly have momentum that are working incredibly hard in constituencies. And they peddle a line that can sound very appealing to people who are perhaps not so well-versed in political and economic realities. It's almost like a message that is very enticing for people that don't really understand some of the issues around economics. It's soundbites. They're very, very good at giving soundbites, which sound fantastic, but won't work in practice. And that worries me. So I was worried by how well he did in 2017. I thought that was really quite worrying. But yes, any pact that's done or pact that isn't done that potentially risks letting him in through the middle and through the back door, as you put it, is potentially very dangerous and damaging to our country, I think. Far, far worse than a no-deal Brexit. And I think people need to think very, very hard about that.
OK, understand that. So you must have been pleased that the under-16 voting idea was not allowed to be discussed, because that would have been doing exactly... lowering the age to 16, what you were suggesting there would appeal to young people, and we're all a bit left-wing when we're young, aren't we?
Absolutely, yes, absolutely, weren't we just? Yes, yes. So, no, I think that's right. I think there's actually a case to be made for potentially raising the voting age rather than lowering it. I think the arguments for the former are better than the arguments for the latter. But I think it was horrifying too, wasn't it, to hear the suggestion that the vote franchise should be extended to non-British
yes,
citizens.
Non-British people.
That's just beyond belief. I mean, what if I'd been in Mumbai, as I was last week when there were elections going on, and demanded to have my vote? I mean, it's absolutely beyond belief that anyone with any sense of love and concern for our country or passion for democracy or just basic decency can think that we should extend the voting franchise to people who have no interest in this country other than the fact that they happen to live here for a relatively short period of time. Absolutely shocking. And that is gerrymandering at its finest.
Well,
and this just shows the level to which these reprobates will sink. It's absolutely appalling.
You're certainly shooting from the lip. I tell you what, I got back from India yesterday as well. I put Sky News on and there was Alistair Campbell basically repeating the same mantra about a people's vote. But then after that, they had a lecturer on who was basically saying on Sky News, telling students, oh, you can get a postal vote. You don't even have to tell them why you want one. And this is another part of the gerrymandering, isn't it? This whole idea of postal voting. In my opinion, the only people who should get a postal vote are people who are severely disabled or are military services serving abroad. Where are you on postal voting?
That far. It was quite funny, actually, because I've been in India for the last 5 weeks. I've just got back too. And at the time that I was leaving, there was talk of a general election happening before October the 31st. So I had to fill in all the forms and sign all the forms for a postal vote. Actually a proxy vote. I think I didn't have time to get a postal vote. So I had to fill in all the forms for a proxy vote so that my daughter could have gone to the polling station for me to vote if that had happened while I was away. So I wouldn't go quite as far as you, John. I think there are legitimate reasons why people would have a postal vote that goes beyond them being severely disabled, housebound, serving overseas, and so on and so forth. But I absolutely agree that a postal vote on demand has got to stop. We know from court cases that there is abuse of postal voting. It's blatantly obvious that the system is being abused. And to be able to just to say, oh, I want a postal vote for no reason, it has got to be wrong. I think you have to prove that, as you say, you are out of the country, you are housebound or seriously ill or in hospital. There has to be a legitimate, sensible reason. But I probably wouldn't go quite as far as you.
Oh, well, we don't have to agree on everything.
Agree on everything.
That's Suzanne Evans, Leavers of Britain. I'm going to come back to her in a couple of moments after a short break when I want to get her views on Joe Swinson. I also want to get her views on the fact that 50-plus MPs are not going to stand again, most of which I don't think we're going to miss, but I'll get her opinion on that as well. And the big question, is a general election actually going to drain the swamp? Don't dare go away. It's John Gaunt. It's Sputnik International. It's Shooting from the Lip with my special guest from Leavers of Britain, Suzanne Evans. Back after this short break.
Shooting from the Lip.
We're taking no prisoners here. Real opinions for real people.
John Gaunt. Shooting from the Lip.
Here we are then, back with part two of Shooting from the Lip. My special guest today, Suzanne Evans, Leavers of Britain. And by God, has she been shooting from the lip in the first part of the show. Let's see what she now thinks of Joe Swinson. Joe Swinson, then, you were very forthright about Jeremy. What about Joe?
Well, Jo's an interesting character, isn't she? I'm not even sure she's going to be able to hold her own seat in a general election. So I think her ambitions to become Britain's next Prime Minister are slightly overshooting expectations, I think. Let's put it that way. But then again, this is the really strange thing about politics, John. However hopeless your chances, it is considered totally wrong to admit that you might lose and that you might fail. So even if you've got no hope of winning a seat, I think in politics people expect you to behave at all times as though you have. So I suppose within the Westminster bubble and the political milieu and the way in which politics operates, Joe Swinson's got no choice but to set herself up as Britain's next Prime Minister. But honestly, putting it on the front page of your literature, really, I think that's going a little bit too far. Let's be honest, Joe Swinson is a Remainer. The Lib Dems have become the party of Remain, and as a result of that, I have friends who have both left the Lib Dems and joined the Lib Dems. So it has divided opinion, as Brexit does on with just about every sector of the population. So yeah, I think she is ridiculous in terms of what she's aiming for. But as a Remain leader, at least, unlike some other leaders, we know exactly what she stands for because she is very forthright about it and makes it very clear. So I'll give her that much.
Okay. Now, the papers are saying it's Workington Man what is going to win it. What a load of garbage these people come out with. Have they not got anything better to do? If they came out of that bubble that you just described, they would know how angry and cheated people of Britain feel, or regardless of whether they voted Leave or Remain. That's what I'm sensing. So I think there's going to be a lot of bloody noses after this election, metaphorically speaking. What do you think?
Well, I think I can't remember a time in, well, actually, maybe I can. Maybe in 1997, when Tony Blair came to power, when I think there was a desperate need for change in politics. Now, unfortunately, I don't think Tony Blair was the right sort of change. Ultimately, I did have some faith in him at the beginning. But I can't, apart from that, I can't remember a time in my voting lifetime when we so desperately needed a shake-up. Politics is the epitome, I think, of a lot of things that are wrong with our country at the moment. I think as a country, we've lost pride in Britain, and I think our parliament has certainly lost pride in Britain and our country. Some of the things that members of parliament write about our country, it would in an earlier time have been seen as being almost verging on treason, if not actually treasonable. And I think that is deeply depressing. You should not be in politics and in parliament if you do not love and cannot support your country. I think also that the whole Brexit issue, of course, has got to come to a head. We've got to have an election to clear out, hopefully, I hope, Remain MPs who are frustrating the will of the people. The MPs for whom I have most respect at the moment, actually, are those MPs who campaign for Remain, but actually say the vote has got to be enacted and I'm going to support Brexit. I think they are decent, honourable people who are behaving as parliamentarians should. Ultimately, you get your seat on the green benches in Parliament by dint of the fact that ordinary people have trusted you to actually represent them. So to then turn around to your constituents and say, well, actually, I think I know better than you and I don't trust you and I'm going to campaign for something different is the ultimate in deceit, I think. It's simply unacceptable. And yes, I do hope there are a lot of bloody noses. I think there will be a lot of bloody noses. I think having been in politics for the time that I have, I'm also slightly concerned that politics is still in our country very tribal. I meet people on a daily basis who say, oh, I couldn't vote anything other than Labour. Oh, I couldn't vote anything other than Conservative. Not because policies don't change or because they don't like policies of a political party, but because that's just the way they've been brought up and that's what they've always done. And that is something that I think is still a problem for all political parties, actually, when it comes to trying to change opinions, to turn hardened voters into floating voters, into potential supporters. So we shall have to see. General elections never fail or rarely fail to surprise. As I say, I hope there will be a real clear out of the democracy.
Yeah, but let me stop you there. When you say you hope there'll be a clear out, isn't the problem that the way our major political parties are formulated, I'll take Brexit to one side, the Brexit party to one side for a moment, but the main parties, they only ever select people who are identikit politicians, whether it's Labour or the Tories. So we might drain the swamp, so to speak, but will there not just be new swamp rats installed? How do we change that?
Yeah, I totally agree with you. And I think one of the things that has to change is the way in which political parties choose their candidates. As I kind of hinted earlier, you never quite know when you vote for somebody to general election whether they're going to do as they say, whether they're going to turn out to be party apparatchiks that don't really care about their constituency, or whether they're going to just completely go against everything they stood for on what manifesto. And I think that is something that really does need to be challenged. And again, as I hinted earlier, you don't know. It's all very well, for instance, say, the Conservative Party saying, oh, yes, we're very pro-Brexit. You must vote Conservative because that's the only way you're going to get Brexit. And then you find out that actually the candidate that you voted for actually doesn't really support Brexit at all and goes against that in the House of Commons. So it is a problem. I wouldn't go so far as to say that manifesto pledges should be rolled out when people get into government, or else that's a kind of fraud and should be a criminal offence or a civil offence or whatever it might be, because there are very often reasons, very good reasons, why manifesto pledges cannot be enacted in government. For instance, you might think about the 2010 election, when there were all sorts of promises made by the Conservative government, but they ended up being in coalition. And anyway, the money had run out. So I think there should be some mechanism, perhaps, of holding politicians far more accountable to sticking to the promises they made before they were elected. And I think that really, the issue there lies in the power of recall. I think it should be much easier to recall your Member of Parliament when they go against their manifesto pledges and can't demonstrate a very good reason for that. So at the moment, in order to be recalled as an MP, you have to commit a crime, basically. You have to behave so badly, and even then there's absolutely no guarantee that you will get kicked out by your constituency. It happens so rarely, and actually I think that the key to all this, to making MPs more accountable to their constituents, is by massively increasing the power of the people to instigate recall measures to get rid of their MP.
That's really interesting, and I was going to ask you about this later, but I'll ask you now then. So in the position of Keith Vaz,
yes,
Would you like to see him recalled? I know there's an election now, but is it right that he's got away with, in my opinion, a six-month suspension? It's not even been agreed yet. Many people, leading feminists, people like Julie Bindle, say he should be doing 6 months in prison. What's your view?
Yes, he should. I think he should. I think Keith Baz's behaviour throughout a lot of his time in Parliament, actually, not just recent revelations, has been pretty shabby, let's put it that way, and at times utterly shameful. And I think, yes, his constituency should have the power of recall. But in the case of Keith Baz, would his constituency actually recall him? It's a massively safe seat for Labour. That is a seat that has, I suspect, been gerrymandered to the hilt in terms of the way in which the voter demographic now works. I think it'd be very hard for anybody else to beat a Labour candidate. So who knows? But in the case of Keith Baz, it still might not work. But that doesn't mean to say that it's not something that shouldn't be a potential power.
And when you talk about his behaviour, are you focusing more on the, you know, the tape which where he actually says he was going to get a Class A drug rather than the use of prostitution? Because that's not illegal, is it?
Well, it's not, but it's not exactly honourable when you're a married man who tries to betray yourself, particularly to your ethnic minority community that is very sensitive to such issues around marriage and family, that's who you are. I mean, the man's a complete hypocrite, a liar to boot, really. So, but it's not just that, you know, it's previous stuff about his expenses. He was obviously embroiled in the expenses scandal. I could go on. It's not just recent revelations. It goes back well before that. But he seems to still have the respect and support of his community. I find it baffling, frankly, but there you are.
So in a word, will he be in the next parliament?
I think if he wants to be, unfortunately, I think he probably will, which I think is a great stain on our democracy. But ultimately, you know, this is about respecting the vote. If Keith Baz wants to put himself up for election despite all he's done, and if his constituents still want to vote for him despite all he's done, let me put it this way, John. I won't be claiming for that vote to be undone and saying people ought to vote again until they get the right answer.
OK, that brings us on nicely to the 50 MPs who are standing down, 50 plus. Now, the mainstream media, especially the broadcasters, are making a massive point about this and saying, we're going to lose these big names, and lots of them are women. You're one of the top women in British politics. What do you make of all this?
I think that's just ridiculous. Every day now, there's some kind of nonsense spoken about sex discrimination or often some other form of discrimination. I've just actually watched on Twitter an interview with a Labour, I didn't know whether she was a Labour MP or a Labour spokesperson, I don't know, but she was talking to Jonathan Bartley of the Green Party, and every time he wanted to make a point and interrupted her to get a point across, she accused him of mansplaining. And I thought, this is ridiculous. He's not mansplaining. He's just having a conversation. This is how interviews work. And she accused him of it three times. And while, I don't agree with everything Jonathan Bartley says, my goodness, he had every right to make his point without being accused of being sexist, which he may be many things, but he is certainly not that. Absolute nonsense. I think the fact is most people in Britain want their Member of Parliament to do a good job. And yes, I think as society changes, as we have a more level playing field between the sexes, there will naturally be more women in Parliament, and so there should be. But to say that the ones that are standing down are women and that's terrible, well, does it really matter? What it's about is representation. And frankly, I don't care who represents me in Parliament, whether they're male, female, or neither. I just want that person to do a good job in Parliament and to do a good job for their constituents. And that's what matters, not their gender.
OK, and finally, and it's got to be very short before you go, is this general election just about Brexit? And do you know how you're going to vote yet?
I think it has got to be about Brexit. And how I will vote is probably irrelevant because I'm in Ed Davies' constituency, which is pretty hard Lib Dem. But I haven't quite decided how I will vote. I'll have to see what candidates I have. But obviously, I won't be voting Lib Dem because they're a Remain party. But then again, there might be other people, even in Leavers of Britain, who will vote Lib Dem because they will be voting not so much on Brexit, but on local issues. And let's be honest, the Lib Dems do have a very very good reputation for working very hard at a local level. So Leavers of Britain certainly won't be telling anyone how to vote. We're not a political campaign. We, as I said, we're a social networking campaign. We're a network of Leavers from all different party political perspectives. So I haven't quite made up my mind yet. But I think it has got to be about Brexit.
Before you go, and I know this is a hostage fortune, 30 seconds, will Boris be going back into number 10 with a bigger majority, in your opinion, as things stand now?
In my opinion, as things stand now, barring some major catastrophe, I think yes.
Thank you for joining us. That's Suzanne Evans from Leavers of Britain. By God, she shot from the lip. I'll be back next week with another guest who will be just as forthright as Suzanne. Thank you for listening. You've been listening to John Gorn from Shooting from the Lip with Sputnik International. Thanks very much indeed for listening.
Shooting from the Lip.
If you've got a view, I want to hear it. If you agree, I want to hear it. If you disagree, get in touch. Tell me why I'm wrong, but you better have a good argument.
This is Shooting from the Lip.